Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Triple E has been in the news a lot lately. Two deaths because of the disease. Numerous sporting events have been changed from evening activities to during the day. And our state legislature wants the governor to get more involved. Senator Paul Formica is the state senator for the sprawling 20th district, which includes Basra, Eastland, Montville, New London, Old Lyme, Old Saybrook, Salem, and Waterford. Basically, it's easier, Paul, if we say what towns aren't in the 20th district
exactly.
than what are.
It's a wonderful part of the world out here on the southeast.
Well, it is. I'm from Old Saybrook in the summertime, so you know I know how great it is down there. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
We're good, thank you. This is a bipartisan coalition. Four senators, a bunch of representatives. What is your main concern, and why did you feel the need to address the issue with the governor via a letter?
Well, we wrote the letter last week to ask the governor to talk to the experts in his agencies about the potential for spraying, both aerial and ground-level spraying, that we thought might just hurry up the process of getting rid of some of these mosquitoes that carry Triple E virus. And, you know, as you said, we've had two deaths here in the 20th district and some in Massachusetts, some in Rhode Island. It's a very unusual year. And,
and
with temperatures looking like they're going to stay above frost level for the next week or two, we thought we'd try to jumpstart the process a little bit if that was, if that made the most sense.
So what does it take at this moment? What does the state do, DEEP and others? What do they do to control, mosquitoes? Basically, drain water and breeding places? What do they do?
Well, there's not much they can do
right
outside of spraying, and spraying is effective in the height of the infection period, which is typically mid-August to mid-September.
Right.
The mosquito population seems to be waning. We had a conference call yesterday with DEEP and the Agriculture Experiment Station, who collects and traps all these things, and public health, and they feel that the mosquito population is declining. The population of mosquito that is the most dangerous at this point seems to feed on birds only, and very seldom do those mosquitoes attack humans. So, it was an interesting conversation, and they feel that selected spraying, as we asked them to look at, won't seem to make much sense at this point, given that the weather is under 50. That seems to slow down
right
the mosquito population, and once we get the first frost, that will eliminate.
The use of pesticides, there's been so much discussion, Senator, about this over the years. How would you like to see DEEP approach this solution to the problem?
Well, I think, we had a twofold purpose, I think, in writing the letter. One, what can we do now and make sure there are no more deaths?
Right.
Two, how do we prepare ourselves for the spring when the pesticide spraying, again, both aerial and land-based, can be more effective with larvae on these mosquitoes? Now, that said, to your point, there are some unintended consequences when you have spraying, and other animal populations are affected, some detriment to humans. I remember years ago when we used to just arbitrarily spray in the spring for mosquitoes, we had the big spray and followed by a huge rain. It drove all that insecticide down into Long Island Sound, settled on the bottom, and lobsters, which are the ocean's vacuum cleaners, kind of ingested it, and I don't think the lobster population has come back since. So, we're mindful of those environmental impacts, but again, now we're talking about human life, so we really wanted, DEEP and public health and the governor's office to look deeply into this to make the best decision, and it looks like they're really doing that.
Senator, does this require any legislation at all, or is it already in the books?
I think the legislation is in the books. I think what they're talking about is increased funding because they have areas that they consider hot spots where they trap these mosquitoes for testing.
Right.
And places like Old Lyme, where we had the recent death, and along the Route 9 corridor, it seems, up the river, right, seem to have more of a propensity this time to have mosquitoes, you know, infected with the virus, yet, you know, those traps are not able to be there. So that's one of the things that may require legislation, a shift in funding to, you know, more widely disperse the areas that that these traps are set so they can figure it out.
And this obviously has to be done immediately because, as you said, there's a couple of weeks left, but if the temperatures don't get below freezing, and it doesn't seem like they're going to be for a while, then this problem will continue to exist.
The problem continues to exist, but again, it seems that the mosquitoes that they're catching are the ones, I mean, and I don't even know how they figure this out, which mosquito is a bird feeder and which is a human feeder, but I guess they have ways of doing that. And it seems that the mosquitoes that they're collecting now are the ones that feed on feed on birds mostly, and not necessarily are human feeders. So, you know, they also said that temperatures under 50 seem to, you know, inhibit the growth of mosquitoes kind of stops their activity a little bit. So, you know, looking at my phone, the weather moving forward, that we're getting to 40 degrees in the next couple of days at night. So
that helps.
You know, who knows what'll happen. But again, people need to be mindful. Many sporting events, as you said in your opening, you know, are being shifted to daylight times. I know in my restaurant we've closed our outside dining deck at dusk just to protect staff and customers. So I think we continue to do things like that until we really hit that first frost.
What's your restaurant?
I have the Flanders Fish Market.
Oh, nice.
See, Joe knows that one.
Very nice. Well, I know of it. I haven't. Okay. I haven't.
Well, we'll come and see.
I haven't been there. Did your phone tell you it was going to rain? Because none of the other weather people did.
My phone did not say it was going to rain.
Exactly.
It said it was going to rain a couple days from now.
Exactly.
Is it raining where you are?
It's pouring. It's cats. It's cats and dogs. People living together. It's awful.
Hey, Senator, do you think you're going to get pushback on this at all? Because there are certain people who are dead set against, you know, spraying.
Well, I think people should raise their concerns that they have about spraying. But again, it boils down, you know, people are dying. And, you know, I think that takes priority in my mind, and we need to make sure that we're doing everything possible to prevent that. And if spraying is the answer, then spraying is the answer.
Okay.
The call that we had yesterday, you know, the consensus from the professionals was that this late in the season, and the fact that those people that have unfortunately passed away were infected during the peak time of mid-August and, you know, to mid-September, you know, that threat seems to be waning a little bit.
All right.
But I'm expecting, you know, that there would be pushback.
Right, exactly. Senator, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. Good luck with this.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you getting the word out.
Thank you. Senator Paul Formica from the Sprawling 20.
And we also got a plug for his restaurant, which I think is really important.
Flint's Fish Market's got a great reputation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.